from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Sports are awful. Like, the NBA preseason is brutal. I don't mind spring training because you're in Arizona or Florida. The weather's nice. It's winter and you're trying to get away and all that stuff. It makes you warm. I don't mind spring training baseball. But this preseason exhibition football stuff is for the birds. And, you know, it's why people complain all the time. Oh, they're going to go to this 18-game schedule. You're not watching these preseason games. Give us one more game that matters, one more game that counts, and eliminate another one of these exhibition games that are just money grabs for everybody out there. They're a waste of everybody's time.
Yeah, and something that a lot of people are doing, I don't understand, but they might be wasting everybody's time in the NFL this year, is having the continued reasoning. I don't understand what it is to just keep poking the bear at the worst possible time.
Yeah.
I'm here.
That Dwayne Wade's laugh?
So that's not really necessarily the first thing that happened, but that's one of things that have happened. Where in the midst of a three-peat, and fellas, I don't know, maybe you can dive into this as well, but in the midst of a three-peat, there seems to be the most sort of bulletin board material, some people call it smack talk, trash talk, dumb talk. For some reason, we're doing this in the midst of the best quarterback in the NFL, who we know can get petty, who's on the brinks of a three-peat, another MVP award possible if you're going to do this, and yet we're continuing to add fuel to this fire that the Chiefs are just in a lawn chair going, wait, I just need to sit here with my cooler and sip and watch you guys burn this thing until the wee hours of the morning.
And that's why, you know, that's why I feel like this is going to be a year, Dusty, that we're never going to forget, because I think every week it seems like there's another sort of, if you will, slight towards Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. It kind of started with Jamar not saying, you know, Patrick's name, right? Like, he wasn't going to say the name of the number one player in the NFL. Then we had the Kermit the Frog incident, as you played there with, you know, Raider rookie and seventh round draft pick holding the, you know, puppet that looks like Kermit the Frog, and it's Patrick Mahomes. Then you have John Harbaugh talking about Lamar Jackson being the greatest quarterback of all time. Lamar Jackson still hasn't done anything in the postseason that would even put him in the category of greatest quarterback of all time, let alone greatest active quarterback or greatest quarterback of his generation, because there's another guy in his way. That's Patrick Mahomes. And then, of course, we know what happened over the weekend. The number 4 ranking came out of Patrick Mahomes in the top 100, and I saw that and I immediately went 20-0, because you had Tyreek Hill ahead of him. You had Lamar Jackson ahead of him. Who was third on that list that was ahead of Patrick? Christian McCaffrey. And you had Patrick Mahomes, quarterback of the back-to-back Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs, number four on that list. Now, maybe the vote was taken after the Oakland game, okay? And on the Christmas Day side of things, everybody looked at that and went, ugh, that's no good. But on no planet can you tell me that those three guys are better NFL players than Patrick Mahomes. And so Patrick reads that. We know how petty he is. These things just keep adding up week after week after week that go into that notebook that he writes down, that he remembers, that will give him that motivation to go 20-0 and to kick your ass. Like, all of these people, man, when are you going to learn? Vote Patrick number one. Say he's the greatest. Don't say anybody's better than him. And don't mock him, because now he's got more of a reason to go out there and dominate.
And who'd have thought that Ja'Marr Chase hated Tyreek Hill?
And who's the number one player
on the what? I'm not saying him. I give credit when it's due, but I'm not saying his name.
I don't know who you're talking about.
Yeah, you do. I'm not saying his name, brother. I'm sorry. Joe Burrow. I'm not saying that guy's name. He's good. He's amazing. He's good. Not gonna lie. I'm salty, though. I'm a little salty. 2 years in a row. But I'm putting Burrow first.
I guess Tyreek Hill's inside Ja'Marr Chase's head.
Yeah, I can't believe that. Ja'Marr Chase doesn't like Tyreek Hill.
He's salty.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Interesting. All right.
Which that's kind of leads me to believe that this is how you know that list was not accurate. Because if Ja'Marr Chase was one of the players, and maybe they vote on it, I know he probably didn't vote, but to think that automatically before the whole list is out, who's number one, and he's even saying, like, I know it's Mahomes, I'm just not going to say his name.
Right.
And then it comes out to be Tyreek Hill. And it's like, okay.
But what, like, from an NFL standpoint, who did the list, right? Having Patrick Mahomes number one, does that get you the clicks? Does that get people talking about it? Does that get the notoriety that this thing got over the weekend? Does that get the run that it get if you put Patrick Mahomes number one? Of course it doesn't. So you change things up a little bit. Not only do you not have Patrick Mahomes number one, but you have the audacity to put him in at number four. That's going to generate conversation. You've got to think with the business mind when you're thinking about sports. Yes, sports is about the athletics on the field, but at the end of the day, it's about the puppet masters behind there trying to make more money, trying to get clicks, trying to get you to react. What's going to get more of a reaction? Tyreek Hill is the number one player in the NFL, or Patrick Mahomes is the number one player in the NFL? It's going to get more reaction, more conversation, more clicks, more discussion when people talk about Tyreek Hill being the number one player in the NFL. And it's setting itself up. This is the script, fellas. It's setting itself up for Patrick Mahomes now to go to 20-0. When did you think about going 20-0? Well, when they made Tyreek Hill the number one player in the NFL. Now we see the NFL working behind the scenes to create the script for everybody to have the Kansas City Chiefs go 20-0.
So you think the players voted on it, but then the NFL said, yeah, let's
absolutely make this more interesting. I trust nothing of what I see. Okay.
That's the script.
I trust nothing of what I see. The best TV shows have a script. The best TV shows are planned out. You know what's going to happen. You know what's going to come. What's good for business, right? What's good for business? Controversy, craziness in the NFL, talking about somebody other than Patrick Mahomes being the number one player. Oh my God, that's great for business. And it's great to motivate Patrick as well.
Is the best thing for the NFL a three-peat?
Yeah.
Because I feel like then it's like to the point where it's like, well, we can't let it be four. And then it's like, well, you haven't stopped it in the last 3 years.
Right.
I don't know. Just then I'm
yeah, because it's something that's never been done before. It's right. History. Everybody's going to be paying attention, right? Like the Chiefs make it to the Super Bowl, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's lay this out. We're in New Orleans. They're at the Super Bowl. The whole nine yards, right? Okay. Yeah. Here's what's going to happen. Everybody is going to be talking about that three-peat. That is good for the NFL. More people are going to be dialed in to see history happen. And as the wins start to tick down, you know, and you get closer and closer to the holiday season, people tend to do their thing. You go away, you have family over, the whole nine yards, you kind of lose interest. But if the Chiefs are winning and you know, you get to the holiday time and they're 14-0, 15-0, yeah, that's a ratings boost because everybody's going to be paying attention, trying to figure out, are the Chiefs going to do this? Are they going to run the table? And then they beat the Chargers. Then they beat the Browns. And then you're talking about a 14-0 team welcoming Houston in. Then it's 15-0. Then you're on the road to Pittsburgh. Can they go 16-0? Like, yeah, this is the best thing that the NFL could have because it's historic, it's dominance, And it really is with a team that a lot of people do like. Like, it's not a team that was hated like the New England Patriots were. So I think there's going to be a lot of people rooting for Patrick Mahomes in this one and wanting to see that history. And then there's going to be the other side of everybody tuning in to watch, when are they going to lose, right? You don't want to miss them going down in flames. And so I just think this is the best thing to happen to the NFL probably since, you know, the Patriots were going 17-0 and having an opportunity to go for that perfect season, which didn't pan out. And if the Chiefs do it, they become the greatest team in NFL history. Bye-bye, 72 Dolphins. Enough of seeing you guys pop champagne. This will be, if they win the Super Bowl and go 20-0, the greatest team in the NFL in the history of the league. And there really is no debating that at that point in time.
Speaking of the Patriots, real quickly, he's back in the tabloids. News. Tom Brady says if the right opportunity comes along, he would be willing to unretire. Brady just turned 47 years old, but is in the best shape as in, or it says is in good a shape as anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Brady, 47. Will these stories or will these leaks ever end? Is he really going to sit in the broadcast booth with a jersey underneath his suit, take it off and be like, all right, I'm back in the NFL?
I think he should do the first game with shoulder pads under his suit, coach, just in case somebody gets hurt in that game and he has to run down there and be on the field.
I do think he should have eye black on.
Yeah.
When he announces the game.
I'm with that.
You can go back in anytime. Well, if the opportunity is there, I might do it.
Yeah, well, Jim, I'm ready. And we'll know after the first game if Tom Brady's going to be any good at this thing, right? I think we'll have a pretty good inkling after the first game if Tom Brady's going to be any good at this broadcasting. And if it goes the way of Jason Witten did on Monday Night Football, Tom Brady may be back sooner rather than later. But if something were to happen here, I would 100% go out and sign Tom Brady and bring him in to be the quarterback of the Chiefs. Are you telling me you're going to give Carson Wentz the opportunity to run this machine? No, no, no. Tom Brady is the first phone call I make if anything ever happened to Patrick Mahomes. This guy wants to play. He's a winning pedigree. Imagine Patrick Mahomes getting injured and Tom Brady coming in and being the guy to take over that locker room. Like, you don't think the guys are going to respect that? Guys are going to feel like they have a chance to win? You line up Carson Wentz, how many of them dudes are going to look at him and go, we don't have a chance to win this game anymore. Yeah, we got Carson Wentz.
But the outcome that I would give you that would be the worst possible situation is, let's say that you do lose Mahomes for the season. You do call Tom Brady and you do win a three-peat and he's the quarterback.
And he's the quarterback, right?
I would never be the greatest thing for the NFL.
No,
I would puke 17 days in a row, just nothing but bile. And I would just hate my life.
I want
the Vegas Raiders to do it. That's who I want to see do
it. You want to see them do it, yeah.
Go sign Brady, and then he just gets absolutely plummeted by the Chiefs.
They absolutely should have already signed him based on what they have at that quarterback spot. Like, Tom, you can go one more year and play one more year here, then join the broadcast booth. That's what I would have done if I was, you know, if I was Mark Davis in that Lloyd Christmas haircut. I would find a way to get Tom Brady to be the quarterback. Because right now, the Raiders, as much as I like Antonio Pierce as their coach, they don't have a chance when you don't have a quarterback.
Not a chance. Gardner Minshew, baby. Festival in the Morning brought to you by Rainier Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster has patented MyQ technology and is the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainierKC.com. 3v3 on the other side. Mac Morey, Dusty Likens, and Bob Fesco. You're listening to 610 Sports Radio. Back here on a Tuesday morning, Fesco in the Morning, Bob Fesco, Mac Morey, Dusty Likens. Damn glad to have you.
Thanks. Some breaking news, Dusty.
Uh-oh.
Remember last week we talked about the vending machine guy leaving the tip jar out?
Is it gone?
It is no longer a tip jar. It now says if you only carry cash and would like a snack, please put the cash here.
So it's not a tip jar.
So now it's no longer a tip jar. It is a, if you'd like a snack and you only carry cash, please leave the cash here. Do we believe that's really going to the vending company? How do we feel about that, folks?
It's all part of the script.
This guy's putting out a tip jar, man. You're the vending machine guy. No tip for you.
Yeah, not good. Not good. Well, who knows? Because normally there used to be cash that would just like lay on the counter.
Well, yeah, people just throw it there, right?
That's just what they said.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just use a card. I should probably use more cash, though, to be honest with you.
You should.
Cash is king. Olympics still rolling right now. They have Greco-Roman style wrestling on TV for you. I know it's one of your
favorites. Oh, nice. Yeah, it's a good one. Yeah.
Yeah. Looks like the female competition, United States versus...
somebody?
I don't know.
China.
Oh, that's a big one. That's for the medal. Yeah. That's medal supremacy right there.
You ever do wrestling?
No.
Okay.
Did you?
I did.
Yeah.
Yep. Had to wrestle a girl once. It was great. Eighth grade. It's a lose-lose.
Yeah, it really is.
It's a lose-lose.
Yeah, it is, yeah. If you win, you beat a girl. Yeah. If you lose, then you got beat by a girl.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially in eighth grade, right?
Yeah, it was really weird.
I get that. Were you a wrestler?
No. Wrestler in the sheets?
Maybe.
Mm-hmm. Better believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Get in there in that full mount. Anyways, bring it back together. All right. The Olympics are going on. The 3v3 basketball. You kind of have a problem with this?
I didn't realize it was going to be a bunch of like barflies that were playing in this game. Like, where have you been, Jimmer Fredette, like sitting at the tavern waiting for your call? Like that it's like a beer league basketball league is what this thing has turned into. And it's not very entertaining. I'll be honest with you. I've tried to watch some of the 3-on-3, both the guys and the gal. It's not very entertaining to me at all because I would rather see like legit NBA players in this or WNBA players in this 3-on-3 tournament, as opposed to dudes they rounded up who have nothing else going on and we're probably selling insurance and they're like, you shot a ball about 10 years ago at BYU, you interested? Yeah, sure, why not?
Still got it.
Yeah, I can roll down to the local rec center and hoist a few and then you shoot some hoops too. And so I just like this one just hasn't clicked for me as something that I'm really interested in. I love the fact that the Olympics are trying new sports and trying to modernize the games. Like, we were watching dudes climb the rock wall today.
Ooh, that's cool.
And these guys were like up in 5 seconds. Like, it was awesome. Right, that was a lot of fun to me. This 3-on-3 basketball thing just hasn't hit the mark because you're playing with people that you may have recalled, but at the end of the day, do you really want to watch them go out there in the Olympics and perform? The answer to that question to me is no.
Okay,
yeah, you got Rick Barry's son out there, Canyon Barry, shooting the underhand free throws.
It's kind of like his old man, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, kind of interesting. So do you not like the game itself?
I don't like the players in the
game.
If you were going to give us our best, right, and go after it with our three best players in the United States, like if you're going to have Steph Curry, LeBron, and I don't know, whoever fill in the blank there, Anthony Edwards, Anthony Davis, Anthony whoever. Like, if you were going to put the three best of your country out there playing, you better believe I'd be dialed
in. Of course,
in. But this to me is like, we've come so far in the Olympics with using athletes that people know that, you know, are the professionals now. It's kind of changed from when it used to be the amateur stuff. That's my expectation going in now. I want to see the best of the best. And when I hear basketball 3-on-3, I think America, we probably have the best in the world when it comes to the players. Let's utilize them. And then I see Scooter Barry and Jimmer Fredette, and I'm like, that's just not something that moves the needle for me.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Go ahead.
We're apparently not allowed to use our NBA. That's what I found out. We're not. They have to play in all the qualifiers from the 4 years leading up. So that's why you got Jimmer and the guy selling State Farm. And yeah, that's what you got there.
Jake. Right. Exactly. No, but that rule needs to be kind of changed then and allow or find a way to get NBA players into the 3-on-3 tournament, because that would be a lot of fun. That's, again, another way to grow the game. Mm-hmm, you're the NBA, if you're basketball, how do we grow the game? Let's use some of the people, some of the guys, some of the gals that we're watching on TV in the WNBA or the NBA. Let's watch them in that 3-on-3 tournament. Maybe what you do is you take the last three people off the roster for the men and the women and put them on the three-on-three teams and do it that way instead of going out there and just finding some dudes who, you know, probably sat around for a little bit too long. That's my opinion on that whole thing. I think there are ways to do it. Like, the last three people cut are now on that 3-on-3 team.
I don't hate that.
And I think you'd have a pretty good team and a pretty good chance to win gold if you did it that way as well.
Yeah, you'd have like Tatum, Embiid, and I don't know, somebody else. If they're not going to
shoot her. Yeah.
Or what you do is if they participate in 3v3, they can't play the next game. They have to take at least the next game.
Are you talking Olympics?
Yeah.
No, okay. I see what you're saying. Yeah. But I think that the biggest thing was the qualifiers. Like, they have some, as you mentioned, Mac, this qualifying rule that if you don't participate in the 4 years leading up, then you can't do that. That's hard for anybody to commit to.
The NBA players aren't going to do that.
Right. Yeah. And I don't blame them for not wanting to do that, but that shouldn't be the rule. They need to change.
Agree.
I don't know if that's an American rule, a USOC rule, or if that's an IOC rule, or how that works, but that rule needs to go away. You need to assemble the best three players that you think can go out there and wave the banner for your country.
We've got a professional 3-on-3 basketball league right here in America. There's no excuse. Like, Ice Cube needs to get these guys. Apparently, he's offering.
Ice Cube's challenging these
guys.
Exactly.
He's challenging these guys. Whoever wins gold, come over here and play our best team.
Right.
So I think Grant Hill and Adam Silver are going to get together and build a really good team of retired NBA guys next Olympics.
You think it's going to be retired NBA guys?
I think it's going to be, like Joe Johnson, maybe like Paul Pierce.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, it's going to be like that. It's going to be guys like that.
Oh, Paul Pierce.
Yeah, let's go.
The Kevin truth. Garnett. Just bring Ray Allen, Kevin Garnett, and Paul Pierce back as a big three.
Yeah.
If you could win gold in the Olympic sport, what would it be?
If I could win any gold medal in any sport, probably swimming, just because I was a swimmer growing up. My sister was a swimmer. I love the sport. I think it's fascinating to watch. Yep. I'd love to win a gold. And you become a hero, too, like in this country, right?
Well, I was
it's
watching
like,
the 1,500-meter men's, and I was like, come on, dude. Keep going.
Like you find yourself at the edge of the seat, like swimming, and I would love to be able to run fast. I would love to be able to do the 100-meter dash. I think that would be a lot of fun, too.
Mac, you got a goal that you'd like to win?
Yeah, I mean, those are definitely two. I mean, basketball, because I love basketball. But, I mean, yeah, I don't know.
I don't think a gold medal in basketball is as fun as winning it in something else, because it's expected. Like, the pressure on, like, when the United States wins the gold in basketball in the Olympics, you don't celebrate that. You go, well, that's what you should have done. You're the United States. Like, you saw Charles yesterday say if they don't win the gold, they're not allowed back in the country. I don't disagree with that, right? Like, you got to go out there and win the gold medal. That's expected of you. Winning the gold for the men's basketball team is more of a relief than it is a celebration, I think, because you're expected to do it. And if you don't do it, then you're looked at as a bunch of heels, right? I mean, we saw a team in the past not win gold, right? Yeah. And everybody looked at them as a bunch of heels. And so now we've assembled the best, clearly the best on the planet. You got to go out there and take care of business. Look, and they've been dominating. I mean, they play again today, but they've been going out there and they've been dominating. They've been crushing teams. They've been absolutely destroying the competition. They're going to win the gold medal. But I think it's just, it's like, you know, when the Chiefs win the Super Bowl again this year, a lot of it's going to be relief to get that three-peat, to get that Super Bowl, to get that pressure out of the way, right? I hate when winning becomes a relief as opposed to something that's enjoyed. And I just feel like for the men's basketball team, it's more of a relief than it is an enjoyment.
Sound the surprise, take alarm. I'm choosing golf.
Yeah.
I mean, what Scottie Scheffler did on Sunday was amazing. To see his reaction winning gold in the United States, you know, theme song playing in the background. I know it's what it's actually called. It's called the National Anthem, but I like to call it the theme song.
Yeah.
But it's an individual sport. Like, you put your country on your back and you won it. Again, I'm not about individualisms, but I do believe that that'd be one of the ones where it's like, Scottie Scheffler's won majors before and had tears in his eyes. He almost broke down to his knees hearing that song play and having the gold in his hand. So yeah, sign me up for golf.
And that's the individual aspect, I think, that makes the Olympics great.
And like, you're the best in the world.
You're the best in the world.
Sport.
You.
Yeah, like you. It's yours.
It's you. It's all you. Now you give credit to your coaches and all that nonsense.
And John Rahm.
But at the end of the day, it's you that did that. Yeah. You legitimately went out there and won and beat the world. And to me, that's really the cool thing about the Olympics, is seeing these individual athletes that we don't really know until the opening ceremonies, or, you know, Katie Ledecky and a couple of other folks, the Michael Phelpses of the world, the big name ones. But you start to find other athletes that you start to root for and start to follow and start to become a fan of. Like, the Olympics opens itself up to doing so many different things, to marketing athletes, to marketing sports, and we all fall in love with these individual events, and here we are rooting for events and teams and athletes that we've never seen before, and it becomes so fun. And that's why I just think the individual stuff, man, being able to win a gold in swimming would probably be the coolest thing in my life.
Speaking of winning and seeing something we haven't seen in a while, the Royals, we dive back into them on Fesco in the Morning. Dusty Likens, Bob Fesco, McMorrie with you. This is 610 Sports Radio. Back here on Fesco in the Morning, Dusty Likens, Bob Fesco, McMorrie with you on a Tuesday. Seems like we're finally getting some blissful weather this week. I noticed the temperatures are going in like the mid to low 80s. Not mad about that.
I saw Friday, it's supposed to be 79 for the high. Let's do it. I love the summer. I'm not a huge fan of fall because that leads to winter. I like spring and summer. But I think everybody is ready for a break from what we had yesterday. Mm. I went out and sat outside yesterday, fellas, you know, to watch.
5 minutes?
I don't know that I made it like that. And I walked inside, and the look on my daughter's face and my wife's face was like, what the hell happened to you? Are you okay? I'm like, I'm fine. Why? They go, you are so red. You look like you're ready to pass out. I'm like, yeah, it kind of got hot out there. They're like, yeah. I said, it didn't feel like it was 100 degrees. This was like 7:30 at night, right? I figured I'd catch a little of the Royals game outside just to kind of change up the mojo a little bit. Boy, I couldn't last, man.
I played 18 holes.
Whew, it was like a furnace yesterday walking outside. And so, I'm all about the warm weather and the sun and all that kind of stuff. But give me like 10 degrees cooler and I'll be okay.
Do you think that pole vaulter cares if he wins gold medal?
Uh-huh.
I think he already won the Olympics.
He did. Is he going to do an OnlyFans thing?
I mean, it seems like he can do whatever he wants. I don't know if you saw that video.
What happened? No.
A little.
Just go to X, type in poll vaulter.
Okay.
Why did you lose the poll vote? Well, I don't know that I lost.
Yeah, you didn't get gold, but you won.
You won, man. You
especially
won, bro.
Especially in Paris, man.
Woo, I'll tell you what, man.
So how come you didn't win a medal? Let me show you the video.
Congratulations.
Yes.
Yes.
I like how he's using his phone and not the work computer to look up pole vaulter in the Olympics.
He is, yeah. Yep. All right. I see what's going on.
Yeah, you see it?
Yeah.
Sponsored by Tommy John underwear. So thin, you won't even think you're wearing them.
Do you wear Tommy John underwear? Yeah. You do. So you're one of those guys that spends like $40 on a pair of drawers?
There's like three. We don't have to get too much into this.
Why? It's guys, man. Everybody's listening. I see these commercials all the time. I just, like, I will spend money on things that are, I can't see spending money on $40 for a pair of underwear. I just can't fathom that.
You get them in threes. And
but you're still spending like $120, right? For like a three pack.
Nah, you spent like $50. But it's good for you. It lets it breathe. It's like free AC in your drawers.
Does it make a difference though? Does it make a difference?
Played golf yesterday with him on. It was 106 degree heat index, it felt like, and I was dry, baby.
At that point in time, why wear anything?
Well, you don't want to go through the shorts.
All right.
You know, you got to have some sort of protection.
I guess you're sweating out there. Yeah, but yeah. I mean, like, I look at that all the time. Like, God, $40 for a pair of underwear. Mm-hmm. Get a three pack for like $6.
Sponsored by Fruit of the Loom.
Yeah. And I'm not talking about those cotton drawers either. They have the imitation ones that are breathable and lightweight, 32 degrees. You can always order a three pack of those online for next to nothing.
Mm. So you all do the briefs then, right?
Boxer briefs.
Boxer briefs.
Yeah. Started that when I was working for the New Jersey Cardinals and we were sweating all the time. And like, I was like, no, you got to try the boxer briefs. I'm like, that's a game changer. Yeah.
Yeah. I just, it depends on what I'm wearing the night out. Like if my pants are really tight or I'm wearing like a suit.
Yeah.
Normally with like a suit to the wedding, ain't no draws in sight.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's like, you know, smaller shorts or something, I got to do something. I got something that goes with those. That way I'm not just hanging briefs out the side of the 4-inch seam shorts.
Yeah. From the 816, just bought 4 more pair of Deluxe. Keep the boys nice and cool. Don't knock it until you try it. I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying I'm cheap. That's all I'm saying. I'm cheap. I'm not spending that kind of money.
I had a girl buy me a pair of, I think it's called like Shiesty.
Yeah, Shiesty. Yeah, I signed up for their text alerts, right? So I get them all the time and I'm like, all right, is there going to be a deal? Tell me when there's a deal. Oh, three pair for $99. I'm out.
These are in the same shape as like the Bush Light corn cans.
Yeah.
So it's kind of funny.
Yeah.
But no, speaking of what's not funny, Royals drop game 1-3 against Boston. Still a game and a half above the Red Sox in the third place wild card standing, but a game and a half behind the Minnesota Twins. And the Guardians lose yesterday to Baltimore. So you're only 5 games behind Cleveland. You're a game and a half above Boston. You're a game and a half behind Minnesota. So everything is still clear cut and obvious what the picture is. You still own that position, the wild card, but you drop game 1 of a 3-game series. And this is why it feels like playoff baseball, because it is. This is why everybody's a little bit more tense. This is why you look over to your right and you see that pack of cigs underneath the drawer. And you're like, okay, do I need to go out there after this game? Or you listen to Vern's post-game show and you're like, here's the deal. But these are games now that they get a little bit more serious. You're under 50 games left in the regular season.
Every game's magnified now.
And you got to win 2 out of 3. And I understand you're going to have some series where it's only 2. Like you play St. Louis Friday and Saturday. No game Sunday. It's kind
of
odd.
Yeah, it's bizarre scheduling because of the unbalanced schedule now in baseball and whatnot.
So
weird
Sunday
off day. So you have a Sunday off day, right? Be nice to have that in September.
Yeah, no kidding. Or like in the early parts of the season. Or maybe I guess it's the middle of summer, so it's a nice day to have off.
For the players, but I'm talking about for the sports fan. Like a September off like in the middle of a pennant race would be great, so you could just settle in and watch football and not have to worry about sweating out a baseball game.
No doubt about it.
Yeah.
But that's why losing the first one's a little bit tougher.
Sucks,
right?
Yeah.
Then you can afford to drop one of the final two. Now you have to go out there and you have to sweep the 2 games left in the series. Tonight at 7:10, tomorrow at 7:10. And again, 2 out of 3 is what you have to get. And if you're going to beat the teams that are going to be there in the end of the season, they're going to be fighting for the playoff spot, or teams are going to be in the playoffs, you have to see what you are against Boston.
Yeah.
Obviously, the Royals play better at home. They got kind of taken out of the game last night. Zerpa was horrendous.
He stunk.
One out, faced 6 batters, gave up 4 runs, 4 hits. Brady's 2 runs charged to him that he left on. Brady wasn't that sharp last night against Boston.
Two times now against Boston that Brady Singer hasn't been that good. Like, you see him dominate, and they kept showing the stat last night, like he's fourth in ERA in Major League Baseball and all that kind of stuff. But against Boston, it's been kind of his kryptonite, the Boston Red Sox, I think. The last two starts against the Red Sox right before the All-Star break, and then this one last night, leave a little bit to be desired, right?
Right.
But for me, I'm not down on Brady Singer or anything like that. But no. I am kind of down on the bullpen right now. And that's really disappointing because they put a lot of eggs in their basket to go out there and to try to fix this bullpen over the course of the last couple of weeks or so. I think Urseg is reliable, right? I think he's going to be a nice player for this team. I love what he's offered so far. I like that Salvi's like enamored by him as well. Like, that's a good thing, right? That's a really good move that the Royals made. But this Hunter Harvey one has not been a good move for the Royals. MacArthur not pitching real well right now. We know the situation involving Will Smith, and at the beginning of the year, and he took himself out of that closer role. I don't know that you can go back to that closer role, but you're going into the final, 49 games or whatever you said, Dusty, of the season, and we still don't really know who the reliable guy is in the bullpen. And Zerpa last night stunk out loud. I don't think anybody's going to argue that one. But to me, it was a microcosm of a bigger problem of, I don't know who we can rely on right now, other than this Urseg, and he's been here a hot minute, right?
Mm-hmm.
Other than that guy, who can you truly rely on right now in the bullpen? And that's what the Royals need to figure out. I know we're all enamored by Alec Marsh coming up potentially from the minor leagues and going back into the bullpen, but can you rely on Alec Marsh to be out there in the bullpen? I mean, he couldn't get out of the first inning for most of his starts, right? Chris Bubich, who has not really shown a track record of success right now, we're kind of hoping that he's the guy. So I am a little concerned of where we sit right now, that the bullpen isn't going to hold up and give the Royals what they need. That is the thing that concerns me most with these 49 games. Can the bullpen take care of business now against good teams? Because the next month, it's good team after good team after good team. The White Sox are no longer part of the equation.
Yeah, I think it's let's see here. We have the Red Sox off on Thursday, St. Louis for two, off on Sunday, Minnesota, then Philadelphia. So, yeah, it's a big stretch here. But one thing that is for certain is this lineup is starting to hit a little bit better. You can lean on that. At least that's good. We just got to keep the bullpen from getting it out of reach because that lineup kept fighting last night. Vinny hit another bomb. I think he has, five home runs in six games?
Bobby Witt Jr. He's playing really good right now, right?
Yeah. He's hitting the ball, and you still have Sal, you have Massey, who had, I think, a double and a triple last night. Mm-hmm. Garcia's
still nice in the leadoff spot. Like, that guy gets on, you're going to score a run, guys. You're going to score a run.
And then you add Renfro, and then you've got MJ off the bench or DeJong off the bench. Everyone look at the matchup.
I mean, Renfro's streak of getting hits and getting on base is about as long as the White Sox losing streak. I think he's been on base 15 straight games or something like that and has a 10-game hitting streak. Like, that's pretty damn impressive. What Hunter Renfro's doing is kind of going under the radar right now because, you know, it's Hunter Renfro. He's not like a household name, you know, in baseball. We're talking about Bobby Witt and Salvador Perez and guys like that. Hunter Renfro has dominated over these last couple of weeks, and that's a guy right now that you're like, when he gets up, good things are potentially going to happen. But that bullpen has got to get this thing figured out. And with 49 games to go, you know, I can sit here and be a blowhard on the air, you know, and do all this kind of stuff that we do and talk about what's wrong. Mm-hmm. And you know, you like to offer up a solution. I just don't know what the solution is right now. And Q's going to have to figure that out. Maybe you mix and match. You go with the hot hand at that point in time. But I don't know who the hot hand is even right now coming out of the bullpen. They got to get that thing figured out with all of these good teams coming up.
Fesco in the Morning brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster has patented MyQ technology and is the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainerKC.com. Find us on the other side letting Bob cook. Better believe it. Mac Morey, Dusty Likens, Bob Fesco, 610 Sports Radio.
Has Brandon Ayuk decided if he wants to be a Brown or a Patriot yet?
Currently still in the balance. Is that the if so facto of demanding to be traded? Like, I want to be traded.
Okay.
And then it's like, okay, well, these are your two teams. You can go here or there. That's it.
See, that's the problem, though, with demanding a trade when you're a guy like Brandon Ayuk or Tyreek Hill or anybody like that, because there's only so many teams that, A, have the collateral to give you back in return, and B, have that salary cap space or willingness to spend that kind of money. And so It's interesting how it happens too, Dusty. Like this guy says, okay, I want to be traded. And then the franchise is like, okay, we're going to go out there since we control your rights and we're going to find the best deal that works for us. Okay, fine. So then they go out and find the best deal that works for them. And they say, okay, you have two options. You can accept this New England deal or you can accept the Cleveland deal. It's up to you to work out a contract and figure out what you're going to get, but we'll be happy to trade you to either one of those teams. And so then he has to decide, does he want to be a Brown or does he want to be a Patriot? And I think if you're looking at both teams on paper, Cleveland may be better, obviously, than where New England is right now. But God, do you want to go to Cleveland? I mean, do you want to be a Brown, an organization that literally has had no history of anything, and you're going to get your money and do your thing up there? Or do you want to go to New England, play for Gerard Mayo, and be on the front end of what they think is probably going to be something good up there and get paid? I don't know. It's all up to what Brandon Ayuk wants to do and what kind of deal his agent can negotiate with the teams. And I'll tell you this, whoever offers the most money is where he's going to go. Like Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, I mean, it was Miami or New York.
Right.
And I don't think there was really ever a doubt where he was going to go.
Okay.
I know that New York seems appetizing, but no state sales tax in Miami.
It's huge, yeah.
Just got another extension.
Right.
After being told he was the number one player in the NFL. Scripted.
Right. Did you see who's pitching for the Red Sox tonight? Mm-hmm. Brian Fellow is pitching for the Red Sox tonight. 10-5 with a 5.13 ERA.
Against Lugo, right?
Against Lugo tonight. Yeah. Right.
And then Reagan's on Wednesday.
Yeah. Brian Fellow. I didn't know he was a pitcher. I thought he was
2 out of 3 out of those final two. We'll get back to the Royals a little bit later. Also some breaking news of the NFL. Not that it's to be merited on the air, but we'll do it anyway. Commanders listed Jaden Daniels as their starting quarterback on their first depth chart. Dan Quinn said, he surpassed my expectations of the readiness, of the command, of the position. Said he's not surprised Daniels knows the system given how he works. Teammates gravitate towards him. Good job, Dan Quinn.
You hit all the buzzwords there, right?
Really, really put like 7 camp cliches all in one on your rookie quarterback that you spent on your first round pick.
He beat out Marcus Mariota, Sid Hartman, and Jeff Driskel.
Sid Hartman sounds like a guy that I want to be friends with.
Yeah, he's now dead, though.
Who's coming over? Sid?
Sid.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
When Sid comes over, the tequila gets poured. But no, you had a...
So Jaden Daniels wins the starting job, right?
Over Marcus Mariota and Sid the Kid.
Sid the Kid Hartman. and Jeff, don't forget Jeff Driskel's, the fourth quarterback. We were talking in break about that. I don't really have a feel for Jaden Daniels. Like, that's one quarterback. He's one quarterback in this year's draft that I didn't watch a whole lot of. Like, this past college football season, not going to lie, fell in love with the Pac-12, watched a lot of Pac-12. That's why I like Bo Nix. That's why I like Michael Penix Jr. I saw a lot of those games, right? Saw a lot of Ohio State this year. The SEC, to me, this year, this past season, I didn't watch a whole lot of. I guess I was busy doing other games and watching, you know, Dion do his thing at Colorado, that's a house of cards. There was did you read the article in Athlon this week about that? Oh, my God. The culture that's going on out there in Colorado, that thing could end before it begins out there. I'm not going to get into the article. You guys can read it yourselves. But read about what's going on inside the locker room.
Okay.
Teammates are beating each other up. They're being challenged to fight against each other. There's other stuff involved that I don't want to get into from that article. Like, go ahead and go to Athlon Sports. Read that article about Colorado. Kind of puts into perspective what's going on. Apparently, Dion doesn't even show up unless there's a media availability and things of that nature. Like, it is starting to crumble already out there. But Dion got me back into college football last year, so I appreciate all that. Whatever happens from here on out, that's not my problem. But, like, I didn't watch enough LSU last year. I think Brian Kelly probably turned me off with the fake accent of that kind of stuff.
Family.
So I just don't know what to expect from Jaden Daniels at all. I mean, I don't know if he's going to be good. I don't know if he's going to be bad. I feel like he's one of those quarterbacks that's either going to be really, really good or we're going to be talking about who Washington needs to select with pick number 3 next year.
Completely agree.
I think he's going to be fun. They got him early. I think he's got a lot of talent. I think he's obviously the Heisman Trophy winner last year, right? I believe so. At LSU?
Yes, yeah. I believe so.
So, I mean, looked good last year. I mean, the other thing that is the handcuff of the situation, a lot of talent at LSU last year.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of picks in that first round, good receiving core. And obviously it was a different sport, obviously college and the pros, but you found some more ways to bring up some stadium talk on this platform that we have here on Fesco in the Morning.
Well, I mean, it's the topic du jour, right? And I don't know if you guys see what's going on out there in DeSoto, Kansas. They're building this Panasonic plant out there, and somebody shared me this article from Fox 4 last week, and they're like, did you see what's going on in DeSoto? This is the coolest thing ever. This is why building a stadium is important right now, because when you invest in a community, you get your money back. And right now in DeSoto, Kansas, even before Panasonic's $4 billion battery plant opens, next year it opens, city residents are already getting a better idea for how massive the massive investments will help them out. And this right now is coming from DeSoto, that because of the construction alone that's going on with this battery plant, every resident is seeing $150 to $200 off their property tax bill for the average homeowner in DeSoto, Kansas. They're saving their residents money because of the construction, because of all the construction workers going to DeSoto, going to Casey's and getting a slice, going to the Mexican restaurant, buying food there, buying their drinks, buying all this stuff. They've generated so much revenue just from the construction of this thing that they're able to give that money back to their residents and save them $150 to $200 per house, per homeowner in DeSoto just because they're building that plant. Think about what a stadium can do. Think about what the construction of a stadium can do and all the fear-mongering that was out there about how it's no good for communities and no good for this and no good for that. This is a battery plant we're talking about right now that hasn't even opened yet and is a year away from opening, and the taxpayers and homeowners are already seeing lower property taxes because of the sales tax that is being generated by people in the construction industry buying products in that town and eating in that town. That's what can happen. And that was the short-sightedness that people looked at downtown when they were talking about building the stadium. People thought it was going to be a bad thing to have happen. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. It generates revenue. It helps your economy. And it's saving your people money. Everybody in Jackson County just got hit with a huge tax bill, right, for their homes. DeSoto is lowering taxes because they're thinking about investment in the community and progress and moving forward.
Do you think it's things like these that can get people to come around? Do you think, or they just think that, oh, it works for them, it won't work for us?
Well, there's always that,
right,
too.
Yeah.
Right. But
that's what I worry about when I hear that.
But think about all the businesses that were downtown that the people who had been working down there could have frequented, could have visited, could have spent money on, could have generated tax revenue and all that kind of stuff. And that's the thing. They would have been generating sales tax revenue in downtown KC Mo that would have gone towards paying down the debt off of this stadium. The 3/8 cent sales tax that they were going to, you know, that's in place right now, that's now going to go to two stadiums that are going to be obsolete here in about 5 years. That 3/8 cent sales tax, the extension, guys who are buying a cup of coffee, bottle of Gatorade, water, eating, whatever the case may be, those folks right there would have been contributing to that 3/8 cent sales tax, and you would have been able to pay that thing off a little bit quicker. But those are the things that don't get talked about. Those are the things that people don't look at. It's so easy to paint the negative picture and, oh, this is no good. It's taking away a tattoo shop, or it's taking away a bar, or it's taking away this, when really at the end of the day, it would have grown the economy in an astronomical way, just like we're seeing out in DeSoto. I've never heard of a town giving people money back on their property tax bill, Dusty, because, oh, we generated enough money here this year, so we're going to reward our residents by giving them $150 to $200 off their property tax bill. That's a pretty cool thing to do. I know it doesn't seem like a lot of money, but what did they say the sales tax would have been? $100 for a family of four or whatever, that 3/8. You're making more money back in your property tax than you would have been with that 3/8 cent sales tax. So I still think people looked at it obtusely. They didn't look at it the right way. And now all the other options are on the table. And you hope something like that happens where they build the new Royal Stadium or where they build the new Chiefs Stadium.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Because that's generating money and that's saving the residents cash at the end of the day. That's a brilliant plan that's going on right now out in DeSoto.
No doubt. 610 Sports Radio, KCSP, Kansas City, WDAF.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.